You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Wood.
And I'm Jennifer Connor.
From Equestrian Businesswomen, and you're listening to Equestrian B2B, the podcast that brings together industry leaders, entrepreneurs, and equestrians for conversations about how they build and sustain a successful business.
On today's show, we speak with Denise Alvarez about how to create good marketing content, move people to action, and if email lists are right for your business.
Denise Alvarez is a horse girl who also loves marketing. As host of the How to Market Your Horse Business podcast and owner of Storm Lily Marketing, she helps equestrian entrepreneurs turn their online visitors into their customers through Take the Reins, her one-on-one coaching program, as well as website design and copywriting.
Denise is known for breaking down marketing concepts and strategies into practical and actionable steps so that horse business owners can not only listen and learn, but know how to take action so they can make progress toward their goals.
Hey, Equestrian B2B podcast listeners, ready to level up your biz?
Ride Every Stride specializes in tailoring brand identities for equestrian businesses. From logo development, essential stable accessories, and custom product branding to exclusive awards, VIP event must-haves, and chic apparel, they've got you covered.
Visit RideEveryStride.com. Use code B2B15, that's B2B15, at checkout for an exclusive 15% discount.
Elevate your brand with Ride Every Stride, supporting women in business and equestrian excellence. Hi, Denise. It's so nice to have you here. I'm glad that we were able to connect and finally have you on the podcast.
Yes, I'm so grateful. Thanks for having me. I'm excited for this conversation.
Yeah, it's great. I love when people reach out and have interest in being on because I feel like we can engage a lot and pick out great topics to talk about. And today we're going to talk about some marketing. And I want to start by asking you, how does marketing in the equestrian world kind of differ from that of other industries?
Sure. I sat with this question for a little bit as I was pondering today, and I knew you were going to ask this one because honestly, the reality is the principles of marketing are really the same for every industry, the principles, right? And we'll talk about a lot of those. And I know that's one of your questions, but I will tell you something that's unique that I feel like I have seen and experienced and I hear from my clients. And that is just the idea that equestrians have an expectation that if you are talking to them about something horse related, you know what you're talking about. And I'm sure that you guys could echo that, right? So just in the world of horses, right? When I talk to people and I say, I help horse businesses with their marketing, they're like, oh, wow, horse businesses, that's really niche down. And I'm like, actually, believe it or not, you know, that's a really huge niche. So some people think, well, it's just horses, but then you've got to go even deeper because then you have disciplines, you have breeds, you have geographic areas, you have all of these different areas and people that are in that area expect if you are marketing to them, that you know your stuff. And that if you're speaking to them about a particular discipline, then you know what you're talking about. And if you use the wrong image, if you use the wrong word, use it in the wrong way, they're not only going to notice, they're going to call you out on it. And I'm sure that many of you listening could see that just in social media as a perfect example, right? When somebody posts a picture and it does not match a look that they are expecting, or it uses a piece of tack in the wrong way, and it is a marketing message, then you have immediately lost trust in the person you're trying to reach. And then not only that, but they're going to let you know. And honestly, I think that's something that's a little bit different in the equestrian industry. Yes, everywhere you go, you need to know your audience. But I will tell you, I've been in lots of different industries. And this one in particular, they for sure will tell you when you've got it wrong. And they're going to notice it. And it's not even always in a mean way, but it is a big deal. And so when it comes to marketing, obviously we're trying to build trust in our brands, right? And if you right off the bat are not using the right language or the right image, then you've lost that trust already.
It's funny that you say that. I'm working on a project right now, and one of the other people working on it put a picture of fox hunting in a section where we were talking about horse showing. And I was like, I'm really trying not to be super picky here, but we cannot have fox hunting and we're trying to explain what horse showing is.
Right, exactly. And honestly, I've had clients come to me and say that type of thing. They're like, I came to you because no, you may not be an expert in my area. Like, I'm not going to say I'm an expert in every area of the equestrian sports that are out there, but I know enough to be dangerous. I know enough to do the research, and I know enough to not do that, right? Not put the wrong image on there. And that means something, because you need to be able to also trust who's building your website, who's writing your copy. I've had a client that she hired somebody to help with her Shopify site. And this person, literally, it was not an equestrian that was doing it. And they literally, in the description, was like, a bridle is used for, and like actually went to define every little piece. And she's like, my people know that, you know, like that they're just going to Google and grabbing what's on Google and copying and pasting it in there. So yeah, you've got to know your stuff if you're going to be talking to horse people, at least on a level of their understanding. Yeah.
Yeah. And what's funny to me is that what we're doing with this, we're pitching to people who are non-horse people, but it's still driving me crazy because I want to have the right image, because I'm sure I'm going to run it by horse people. And that's the first thing they're going to say to me is, well, this picture is, you know, representing this and that. And I'm like, I know that. So we do have to change it, but it's very funny that we are so picky.
Some people would say picky, and we're just like, no, it matters.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Back to what the key principles are. Can you talk about the key principles in marketing that equestrians should be using to create their strategy?
Yeah, you bet. So it's funny because I actually did go to school for marketing. That's what my degree is in. And when I think back to that, right, they talked about like the four P's of marketing. And you know, what's funny is nobody talks about that in real life. Like, no. You know what I mean?
Never.
I haven't talked about that since I had to write the papers on it.
Yes.
But the reality is, the principles that I see that equestrians really need, or equestrian entrepreneurs and business owners need the most help with, is getting clear on their messaging. And even before that, getting clear on who they're for. So whether you're talking about advertising, whether you're talking about social media or your website, or just having a one-on-one conversation with somebody, if you don't know who you are for, you cannot clearly communicate that to them. And then they walk away confused, and they don't even know if what you have is for them or not, or if you are solving a problem that they have or not. And so I always start with that in my one-on-one coaching, and even with website clients, they don't necessarily hire me for coaching, but we always start there. And I just tell them, like, before I'm starting to write your copy, let's get really clear. Who are you trying to talk to? Who's your ideal person? And I don't just mean demographics. I mean, like, really diving into that so that we can create messaging that resonates with you, speaks in your voice, but also makes it very clear when they land on your website, when they get on your social media, they can know instantly, are you for them or not? And that drives everything else. That drives where you advertise, right? It drives where you are showing up, you know, where, what expos you're going to. All of those things are marketing. But if you don't have that one principle taken care of, then you're going to miss it everywhere else.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really interesting, because I recently was reading a book and they were talking about that. And it actually wasn't a marketing book, but it was just touching on points that you really need to be your voice, your own voice, know who you are, and you're going to attract to the customers. Like, you don't necessarily have to go out and pick who your customer is prior, as long as you're like being authentic about who you are and who you want to attract.
Yeah.
And I thought that was an interesting perspective, because so many times we talk about market research and going out there and, you know, finding a solution to all these people's problems. But this was more in the aspect of, you know, look at who you are and use your voice to get the people that are going to resonate with you.
I love that. And it's so interesting that you say that, because when I start coaching clients and I start asking them some of these questions, it is around them as well. Right. And they're like, gosh, these are hard. Like, because it is hard work to really say, I'm going to own this about myself. And then I'm going to use that as a part of my marketing, because that's what's going to build that connection and build that trust as you do that. And so then you're very clearly saying, I'm not for you, or I am for you, as you do that, right? And it allows them to have that clarity. But you're so right. If we aren't clear on what we believe and where we stand on certain things, or what's important to us, or what our business model is going to be built around, then our audience isn't going to know that either.
Yeah. And I think it's important for a lot of people to differentiate, like, between marketing and advertising. A lot of people don't understand the difference. And, you know, what you're talking about right now with finding out who your audience is or who you want to market to or who is going to be buying your products and services, like figuring that out is marketing. And knowing the literally the market that you're going for is a really important part of knowing for your company, because if you don't know that, then it can't be targeted. You can't be reaching correctly the people that you want to reach. And then, you know, in the advertising side of it, or reaching out or your branding and your social media and all of that, we've talked a lot about authenticity and how important mm-hmm. it is now and how the market, the market in general has changed and how things are really swinging, especially in social media, away from, you know, the perfect curated posts into authenticity and showing real life and being able to make those connections. So I think it's great to talk about that here again and reinforce those ideas, because for business owners who are entrepreneurs and doing it themselves and maybe, and you know, either they're starting out or they have a small company and they can't afford to hire people all the time to do this for them, they need to know those differences, and it'll help them in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right.
I've recently started, when I'm working on a project and I want to know who I'm trying to target or what's going on, I've started writing out who that person is and creating a story around them, which yeah. I mean, we've done that before in a branding exercise, but for mm-hmm. me, it just helps me get so clear on the messages that I want to project and, you know, who I want to attract. It's like, this is my ideal customer. And I'm not saying that I'm not going to reach other people with it, but this is who I have in my head when I look at it. This is the story behind them. And then I'm able to get clear on the goals that I need to set to move forward.
Yes, absolutely. And what you said is so important, because oftentimes we think, and I hear this a lot, if I'm trying to reach that one person, then what about all the other people that I'm excluding? You know, like, people are more afraid of excluding than they are including the right people. And so that's the deal. If you're writing to that one person or that group, right? So some people struggle with the one. So, okay, if it's a couple of people that you're picturing and that you have in your mind, then you are naturally going to draw some other people in, or right. let those people come to you and ask the questions. You know, hey, I saw that you only do XYZ. Would you be willing to do this? I really like what you're doing. I really like what you're putting out there. I may not be exactly fit for you. Then you get the freedom as a business owner to say yes or no to that. But you also get the confidence of knowing that what you're putting out there is helping you to really reach the right people, the people that are really right for you in your business.
And they understand what you're doing and they understand who you're trying to reach. Like, if you have that clear of a vision that you're putting out in the world that people understand that they might not be right for you, yes. like, I think you're doing a good job on at least making it clear who you are and what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
And, you know, I kind of touched on this before, you know, maybe for business owners that are just starting out and need to do everything themselves, is there a way to simplify marketing for those people who have limited time or resources or just don't have the experience?
Sure. Yeah. And that's so many of us, right? Like, everybody starting out at least has one of those. They have limited time, limited resources, or no experience in that area. So I say, I'm going to dive into each one individually, if that's all right. So when it comes to limited time, number one, let's acknowledge that everybody has that, right? We all have a limited amount of time in our day. And so when I am working specifically with entrepreneurs, is who I work mostly with. And so they're wearing many hats. Right? It's not just marketing. They're saying, Denise, how do I fit in marketing with a barn full of horses? Or how do I fit in marketing with all of these photography clients? Because I work with some equine photographers as well. Or everybody has their thing that they're doing in their business. And then on top of that, they're trying to run the books. And so I'm just acknowledging we all have that issue of time. And so what I encourage them to do, and what I would encourage listeners to do, if that is you, is to not try to do everything. And I know it's easier said than done, so I'm going to get super practical with it, because what I often see is somebody saying, okay, I know I need to market my business. So I'm going to go ahead and get on Instagram and Facebook and TikTok and LinkedIn and YouTube and, oh yeah, and a podcast, you know, like all the things and all at one time. And then for about a month, I'm going to be extremely strong and show up everywhere. And then what happens at the end of the month? We all know you're burnt out and you don't have the energy or desire to do it anymore. And so I encourage people, it is okay to honor the season of business you're in at the moment, to honor the time that you have available. And that doesn't mean don't market. It means pick one. Starting yeah. out, pick one platform where you're saying, Denise, this is where my people are. I'm going to go all in. And all in doesn't have to mean you post every day either, by the way. Like it doesn't right. have to mean that immediate pressure. All in could be, I'm going to post 2 times a week and that's my commitment. And on those other 3 days, I'm going to go in and share stories. And that's the commitments that you can make with the time that you have available. And then I want yeah. you to stick to that because that consistency is what is going to make an impact. That consistency of showing up is what's going to allow you to build relationships with people, to build trust with people, and then to actually turn those followers into your customers. Because let's just acknowledge we're not on social just to build followers. We actually want customers. So right. I don't really care how many followers you have. I care how many of those people became your customer at the end of the month. And yeah. so I encourage people start with that one. If you have limited time, acknowledge it and then decide what you're going to do with that limited time.
And I think what we just talked about in finding who your market is or who your perfect customer is, and then you're looking at starting what platform you should be on for social media. Well, what platform do you think your perfect customer is on? Do you think they'd be on Facebook? Would they only be on Instagram? Would they only be on TikTok? And start there, because if that's who you think are the first people that are going to see, you know, buy your product, mm-hmm. that's where you should be, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Don't go to the one that you enjoy most. I've right. heard a lot. Right?
Or what's easiest for you.
Or what's easiest for you. Yeah. I've had a number of people say, well, I really love being on TikTok, but I know that's not where my people are. Or I know I'm not getting conversions there. So I'm going to do that for fun, but I'm going to show up. You know, for some, it is Facebook, even though people don't like to hear it sometimes. Like they're like, mm-hmm. but Facebook's not the one anymore. No, especially in the horse really world, we all know there are a yes. lot of people hanging out there still. And so if that's where you need to be, go there and give it 1,000%.
Yeah.
That's, we had a young woman yes. on, and she has like 500,000 followers between all these different groups uh-huh. that she has, but she sells horse clothing, equestrian riding wear, clothing. Riding clothes, like for uh-huh. the Western world. And that's where her target market is. And she told us that. She said straight up, that's like all my friends are like, why are you on Facebook?
Uh-huh. She's like 21,
I heard that
you know?
Clip. Yes. I was listening to your replays. Yeah. yeah. And she was yeah. said, oh, that's where the old people were or something. Yes. Right. They told her that. Yeah.
the parents who buy the clothes.
Right.
For their kids.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, yes, that's a brilliant business decision. Like, what a brilliant mind to say, yeah. this is where my people are. This is where I'm going to focus my efforts. Yeah.
That's exactly what we thought. And then I have something to say about consistency too, because sometimes, you know, I think people struggle with the consistency part, but mm-hmm. my mom worked for a tack shop when I was a kid, and that tack shop was open for like 40 years. They had the same hours for 40 years. They made it happen mm-hmm. no matter what. And they were fortunate because they lived next door to that tack shop, but that was, everybody could depend on them. They knew it was super mm-hmm. reliable and could depend on them. And so it's just like with this podcast, you know, we set out, it's on the 1st and the 15th of every month. People know it's coming mm-hmm. and we can pretty much guarantee that it's going to be there for them to listen to. So I think consistency is very important.
Yeah, and, absolutely. It builds that trust. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone can talk about how difficult algorithms are and all of that, but the more you are putting out there, the bigger chance that mm-hmm. people are going to see it. You know, if you're posting twice a month, it's going to be very difficult for anyone to see what you're doing. And your numbers will show that, I think.
Right.
When you look at the analytics.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you're not feeding the algorithm any content to learn from, right? So when right. it gets content, all it's doing is learning. And if people are engaging in your content, then it's like, oh, okay, then I'll share a little bit more of that. But if there's nothing right. there for people to engage in, then you're not educating the algorithm either. Yeah, absolutely. So that's the time issue. So let's talk about resources. If you're saying, Denise, I've got limited resources, but I know I need to market my business. What do I do? Then I say, take advantage of free. Like, honestly, there are free options. And so your resources are not just money, though. Let's make that clear, right? Resources are also your time, your energy, and your money. And so take advantage of free, but you're going to have to invest some time. But for example, your podcast here, my podcast, How to Market Your Horse Business, there's so many free education options that you can at least first get a foundation of what is marketing? What do I need to be doing? This conversation is a great way to get started. I have free resources on my website that are like guides for setting goals and how to use hashtags, things like that. Those are free, right? So if somebody is looking at me and saying, Denise, I don't have the money. Well, if that's the only thing keeping you from marketing your horse business, then it's not actually an issue of money, right? We know that it's an issue of, you know, what's the heart behind your business? Do you have a solid why? Why are you doing what you're doing? And what's your motivator? There's a lot more behind that. But because if it's just resources, there's free education. And then we just talked about social media and it's free. It's free in terms of money. It does take an investment of time, but it's a free option for you. Just like the gal you were talking about when she was getting started doing that was free, right? That was free marketing, so to speak, for her to get in front of her people. So get educated about how to do it and then just take a stance and decide you're going to do it. Now, when it comes to websites, I know that those are an investment. And so I always encourage people, if you can do a one-page website just to get you started so that you have a landing page to get people from social media onto your website, which is very important, at least do a one-page website, something that really beautifully displays who you are, what your products and services are, gives your potential customer a very clear journey of how they can buy from you, become your customer. You know, that's important, but it doesn't have to be investing in a $10,000 website right out the gate. Right. You know, and so many people think that's what's stopping them, but that's really not what's stopping you. There are other options available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially now, like it's so easy to just go on Squarespace or whatever provider and build something easily.
Yeah, absolutely. And even, and I know we'll talk about email in a little bit, but email marketing providers right now are creating simple landing pages that you can just have and use right out the gate if you have to. Yeah, absolutely. So then the no experience issue, right? You said limited time, limited resources, limited experience. I will give a super practical way that I tell people to do this, right? If they're saying, I know horses, this is what I hear a lot. Denise, I know horses, I know that, but I don't know marketing and it's overwhelming to me. And so where do I simplify? Then I say, start with looking at your existing customer base and who is that one customer that you're like, I wish I had more of them. I wish I could just duplicate that one customer. And so before you even start creating content, think about that one customer and think about what it is you enjoy about working with them and think about what their problems are. Why do they come to you in the first place? And then not only think about that, but I want you to take them to coffee. Like I encourage my clients, like when you think of that one person, go and ask them what made them choose you. You know, what other options had they tried before they came to you? What are some of the things they were considering as they were making a decision about investing in your products and your services? Really get to know that person. And then you're going to have pages of content ideas in terms of creating content that markets to your right people, in terms of creating, you know, reels or blog posts or, you know, figuring out where to advertise, because they're going to tell you, oh, I heard about you from so-and-so, or I was at this place, or I was reading this magazine or listening to this podcast. And so if it's all overwhelming and you're saying, Denise, I just need to simplify, I want you to find that one person you want to duplicate. And then have those conversations and take notes. Take good notes, because you're going to have a lot of ideas when you walk out of that conversation, guaranteed.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like that. You know, that's kind of what most companies try and do when they send you a survey after service.
You're and, absolutely right.
Part of it's, you know, customer service, but I'm sure a lot of it goes back into marketing as well.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And so you can do that too. Yeah.
Yeah. And how much time do you think should be spent on marketing for those people who are kind of doing it themselves and have to figure out a way to, you know, carve out that in their schedule?
That is a beautiful question and is a hard one to answer. When I saw that, I was like, okay, how do we say a time? So, and here's why, because I work with people who are like, in a variety of stages and seasons of life and business both. So I'm really hesitant to ever give a blanket answer of like, this percentage of your time should be spent doing this. And because it's not going to be the same for every person. But what I honestly start with is, what are your goals? What are we working towards? And then let's work backwards from that. So for example, I just finished working with a coaching client who her goal is to find literally 6 of the right people that she can design illustrations for in a year's time. She's not looking to sell 100 courses. She's not looking to, you know, scale like everybody else is. She just wants 6 to 12 of the right people that allow her to really do what she enjoys most, serve them well, provide high quality experiences. Well, she still needs to market her business, but the way she's doing it and the time she's spending is probably going to be different than the person that's saying, Denise, I'm trying to sell an online course. And so I need to really build my email list full of thousands of the people, because I know, you know, what percentage is really going to convert to buy the course. They're still both going to need to spend time on marketing, but the way it looks is different, right? The first one, it's okay if she's posting 2 times a week and instead her marketing may look different because she's sending cold emails to people trying to build conversations, you know, so it's still marketing, but it's going to look a little bit different and it's going to depend on what her goals are. She also has a family. And so her goals are also part of, I want to be available for my kids get out of school. Right. And then the person that's saying, I'm here, I don't have any kids, so I'm willing to do it from 8 to 8. That's going to look different. So I struggle when people ask me those kinds of questions. I'm like, let's start with your goals. And then I'm not going to tell you how many hours a week to do it. But instead, let's talk about what are the practical things that you can be doing and commit to this week. And then you decide when you look at your schedule, what that's going to look like. And I know that's not everybody's favorite answer. It depends is like the worst answer, but it truly does depend.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's true. And what are some different ways to market a business?
Sure. Of course, we've talked about social media. That's a no-brainer as far as businesses are concerned these days. But that's not the only way, right? So when I talk to people about options, and there are a ton, and we know that there are books that dive super deep into this, but I have essentially 2 buckets that we're talking about, right? So we have an organic marketing methods, and then we have our paid marketing methods. So organic would be things like word of mouth, or a referral system, or relying on organic website traffic, meaning you didn't pay for them to arrive there, getting your website optimized for search engine optimization. Obviously, social media, we've got networking. You can do in person, you can do online, email marketing. Those are all different organic ways. And before I even continue, can I just say to remind people, I'm not asking you to do all of these things, okay? I'm giving you the options because I know when people are listening, they're like, and I'm done. Like, so don't be done. Okay. Don't be done. We're just saying these are some options that you have available to you as you consider who are your people and where do you find them? Because sometimes people get stuck with the where do I find them question and think I have to decide if they're on Facebook or Instagram. But there's a lot more out there in the world available to you to help people find you than just those 2 platforms. But those are the organic ways, right? And then you have paid ads. So obviously you can do print ads. And maybe that means magazines of your specific discipline or breed, or maybe it's local magazines, depending on if you're trying to reach a local market. It may be Google ads in order to get people to a specific page on your website, or advertising and social media, those types of things, influencer marketing, right? There's so many. So what I want to remind people is know what your options are. Be reminded that there's more available to you than you realize. Get creative about it. And then go back to what we talked about in the beginning. If you're an equestrian entrepreneur, you're not going to be doing all of these things at the same time. Right. But instead, just look at these and see the options and then realize maybe there's something that you've forgotten that was available to you that you could start to dive into.
Great.
Okay. What are some mistakes that people are making in their marketing?
So we've briefly talked about this, but we'll give some specific examples, because the mistake that I continue to see, and honestly, this is not just small businesses, I see this with larger level too, is really confusing your people with your messaging. And sometimes that means you're confusing them in terms of it's not clear, like what we talked about, who they're for or what they do. Sometimes it's because people are afraid to really put a stake in the ground and say, this is, you know, I'm only for jumpers, right? I'm only for rainers. I'm only, right? Because I need to be for everybody. I help everybody. Here's what I often hear. My methods or my products really will work for every horse and every rider. And that honestly could be true. Like, I will not argue about the effectiveness, but what I will say is the effectiveness of your marketing is going to be watered down if you try to be for everyone. And I see that, like I said, it's large and small. I had a coaching client and we really work on honing in on her messaging. And so she provides online courses and resources. And so she was calling herself an all-around equine expert. Well, you guys tell me, right? If you hear all around equine expert, if that tells you anything about who she's really for, and you're like, no, because it's all around. What breed of horse is she familiar with? What discipline is she familiar with? So we went from that to she helps amateur cowgirl competitors excel at their sport on sound, healthy horses. So now just from that, yeah, you can see, like, we know that who she's going after, it's not the professional, it's the amateur, it's a competitor. So it's not somebody that's just trail riding on the weekends. They care about excelling at their sport, but they also care about the health of their horse. And yes, you could say everybody does, but when you make sure to put that in your messaging, that's different. Somebody who says, mm-hmm. I really care about competing on a sound, healthy horse is going to identify with that. And so, but I see that mistake on all levels all the time. I was just on a website the other day and she's a coach, like personal coach, fitness coach, that type of thing, but in the equestrian world, right? And she said she is for equestrian, she's going to help you be the equestrian slash, literally it has a slash, the equestrian slash horsewoman slash cowgirl that you want to be. Well, again, your goal in your marketing is for people to say, yes, that's me. I identify with that. And I guarantee you, nobody's saying identify with that because they're not really sure which part to identify with. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to common mistakes, this is the one that really impacts everything else that you do, just like we talked about before. Because once Addie got clear and she said, I'm helping amateur cowgirl competitors, her content changed because she was very clear on what she's doing. She's a barrel racer and who now does the mounted shooting. So she started really focusing on showing more of what she's doing so that she can show that she is a competitor. And when people see that content, they identify with it. When they land on her website, they identify with that. If she decides to run ads, she knows where to go to find her people. So truly, this one key element impacts everything else. And I have seen it over and over again. When people get that clarity, then the light bulb goes off and all of a sudden they have the freedom to create the content that they've really wanted to create anyways, but they were afraid to, right? Mm-hmm. So often it's that fear that keeps us from really putting a stake in the ground. But once they have the freedom to claim that and that fear is gone, then a light bulb goes off and then it's just a waterfall of ideas.
Yeah. Specificity is key.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Now I will tell you, because I love to give the practical too. So there's a like overall, right? Now here's a very practical one that people that are listening, if they're like, I need something to take action on now. Well, number one, yes, go evaluate, go have somebody look at your website, go have somebody look at your social and tell them that you want to know, what do you think I do based on this? Like, how would you describe that? So get feedback. The second practical thing that I tell people when you are writing your content, and this is not even related to what we just said, okay? This is the second practical thing I want people to do is stop talking about yourself and talk specifically to your audience. Mm. So when we are creating our own marketing, oftentimes we immediately start talking about ourselves, our rewards, the great ride that we just had, the great horse that we're on, our philosophies, but we're not thinking about, okay, I actually lied. It is related to this, how I'm going to describe it. We're not thinking about the work that we've done before, right? We're not thinking about how it impacts that person. So when you're writing that, I see this post all the time because I follow a number of trainers that are in all different disciplines. And the post is, I just had a great ride on Beauty. She did such a great job. I just love this horse. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've seen that content. That does not tell your people anything about who you are for, what your business does, if they're for you. Like, it's not helping your business at all. So instead, yes, you can share about that, right? But instead, why don't you think about, why was it so great? Did you do something differently that created a different experience? Tell that horse's story. Maybe they're going to see their horse inside of it. Think about who you're writing to and write it for that person. Don't just write about yourself. And the same when you go to your website. a super practical exercise is to go to your website and look how many times right now you're saying the words I, me, and my. And you're going to surprise yourself. Yeah. And yes, you need to talk about yourself. They need to build trust, but they need to see it through the lens of how it relates to them as a potential customer. So answer that so what question. Okay. So I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. Well, what does that mean to her? What does that do? Well, that means I have X number of years of experience to bring to the table so that you can know that what I'm sharing you was built over years of working on XYZ, right? Or working with XYZ writers. Answer that so what question, and that's really going to help your marketing too. So two specific mistakes that do relate together, but you can practically take it from this episode and turn around and figure out how to apply that to your business.
Yeah, that's great advice. I like the example of that post you gave and, you know, turning it and saying, what is it about that ride that would make somebody want to train with you? Did you bring that horse up from a four-year-old, or was this a horse that had a stopping problem and you were able to turn it around because of your empathy or your training methods or whatever, that people would connect with more rather than just saying, I had the best ride and this is a great horse.
Exactly. Yes. That's a wonderful example of how you can turn it around. Yep.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. And actually, I just listened to two different podcasts that kind of touched on this about being speakers. And one of them was talking about how he had to go on after a famous speaker didn't show up. And so he engaged the audience by saying, hey, I need your help, and getting them to like interact, because he said people were like flooding out where they were so disappointed when they found this other person was leaving. So he said, instead of standing up there and talking about me, I asked for their help. And he said it shifted the entire vibe of the audience. And then the other podcast I was listening to, he was talking about being, it was actually Adam Grant. And he was talking about how he had to go in when he was just out of school, and he had to go talk to a bunch of like Navy officers and like lecture them on something. And the feedback after his first lecture was terrible, because he just stood up there and gave his list of credentials, and they were like, you don't have the experience that we have. So the second class that he had to teach, he went in and he shifted everything. And he said, I know you guys think that I don't know what I'm talking about and I'm young and whatever, but it shifted like the entire vibe of the room. And then he was able to communicate and people respected him more for admitting what he didn't know. So I think that, you know, that's a definitely kind of in this scope when you're trying to talk about what you're going to put out there and, you know, the mistakes that can be made. So
yeah, those are really good examples. I love that. And I love how they're not specific to this realm, but it applies. Like, shift your focus, you know, shift your focus. People notice that.
And kind of going into types of marketing and the ways to reach people, why do you think equestrians should consider marketing through email?
Yes, absolutely. So we talked briefly that email marketing is one of the options. And as far as I'm concerned, it's one of the underrated options that people are looking past or feeling overwhelmed about. Like, there are a lot of objections that we can talk about first, honestly. So let me do that, because I know when people hear, she said email marketing, I'm not really up for that. So here are the few reasons that I hear this often. Okay. Number one is spam. People are afraid to be spamming the inboxes of their followers, their friends, those types of things. Or they're saying time, it's the time issue, or it's the, I don't know what to put in a newsletter or an email that would actually benefit people. So those are the three big objections that I hear. And so when it comes to spam, let's just say it right out the gate. Yes, some people are spamming you and that's not okay. But that doesn't mean that's the way you're going to do email marketing. And it doesn't negate the fact that it works. So just give us that, right? Just like, just say like, I hear you. And the fact that you're saying, I don't want to spam people actually means you're probably going to not spam people. It means you're actually going to think and intelligently and strategically about what you're putting into your emails. And so statistically speaking, you should be considering email marketing, because let's go back. We talked about social media. Okay. Now these stats, I did verify these just the other day, and they're very consistent. So organically, without paying for people to see your post, statistically, 3% of your followers are going to see your content. Yes, it could be higher, it could be lower, but on an average, they still say about 3%. So if you think about that, if you've got 1,000 followers, think about what 3% is and how many people are going to see that organically, wow. Which goes back to what you said earlier about needing to share more consistently in order to get it in front of more eyes, right? And that is important. So I am not negating the impact of social media and the opportunity of social media, totally behind it. But when it comes to emails, if you have 1,000 people on your email list, right now the average open rate is 20%.
Right.
And I will tell you that my clients, because they've intentionally gotten qualified emails on their list, I have a client who regularly gets a 50% open rate. I have another mm-hmm. client who's regularly 40%. You're shaking your head because you've seen this too, I'm sure, in your work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so when you think about just the flat out numbers, right? If you have a message that you want to get in front of people and I told you, hey, would you rather get 3% or would you rather get 20%? You're going to pick 20%. Right. So that is why it's so underrated, because people are thinking, well, no, nobody's in email, everybody's on social, but the stats do not prove that to be true. And so it doesn't matter what size of your business. I have a client who is a solo entrepreneur and she sends one monthly email and it works for her. It's very profitable because people know to expect it on the first of the month and they know it's going to have valuable information and they know that they can buy from that. So she has a mentorship program. She only opens it once a year. And so she fills it not completely by her email list every time, but the first people that buy are always people that were on her email list. Mm-hmm. And so they are taking action. They are taking action. And so if you're not using email, you're really truly missing out on an opportunity.
Yeah, for sure. And if you think about, I mean, this is kind of my next question about how equestrians can build an email list, right?
Yeah.
If it's coming from people who have purchased from you before, you're already reaching people that know your product, that are interested, mm-hmm. that have purchased, that would want something from you again. You know, what are the best ways to capture those emails and, you know, make sure you're doing it the right way and that, mm-hmm. You know, you keep that list of people who want to receive your emails?
Yeah, absolutely. I love that you said, make sure you're doing it the right way, because I had one client say, do I just need to go buy a list and send it to you? And I was like, no, please do not do that. Not okay. And frankly, not only just the legality of it, but it's not going to be fruitful for you in any way. So do not go buy a list. Let me just tell you that. And then also do not start importing all of your past clients from the past 20 years and say that that's your email list either. Now, what I have told people who wanted to do that is, look, here's what we can do. We can import them and we're going to tag them as a past client and we're going to send them one email and let them know that you're going to start sending regular emails. And if they would like to stay on the list, make a very easy button that they can click and that will tag them that they want to be on your email newsletter list. But do not start sending emails to people who did not ask for them. It's not only illegal, it's not good service, and you're going to get marked as spam, which is, again, not going to serve you well. Now, I will also say this. Some people don't realize you cannot or should not just start blind carbon copying everybody. So do not go open an Outlook email or Gmail and then just copy and paste into there. Now, again, it's not going to be fruitful. You're probably not going to land in their email inboxes because you're going to get blocked because it's going to look like spam. So get an email service provider. First and foremost, there are so many great options available out there. They have free. So going back to limited resources, there are so many good free options for getting started in that. And then think of what your people would give in exchange or what they would want in exchange for their email address. We call this the lead magnet in the marketing world or a freebie. But one of the best ways that you can build your email list is to give people an incentive. And I'll take it a step further. I want you to build your email list of qualified leads. So yes. Your goal is not to just get 1,000 people on your email list. Your goal is to get 1,000 of the right people. So your lead magnet is a filter. And it is a way for you to get the right people onto your list. So you're going to create something that is helpful, that is valuable, and that they would want in exchange to get that email list. So that's the very basic foundation of that. Now, are there other fun ways to build your email list? Absolutely. You can partner with somebody else and do a giveaway. There are lots of creative ways that you can do it. If you're at an expo, you absolutely should be doing that and, you know, getting email addresses in exchange. But I always just provide this caveat to remind you to be mindful even of your giveaway. Because if your giveaway is just something that people are going to give you a junk email address that they hardly ever check, or that they are just doing it and they're going to automatically unsubscribe, you might have built your list, but you're not building your business. And so I want you to really focus on getting the right people onto your list as a part of that process.
Yeah, I think it goes straight back to what you were saying at the beginning of thinking about who your customer is, right? I mean, if your customer is this part of the market that you want to reach first, then a blanket email list that is 1,000 people, but 700 of them aren't your target market, then what's the point of sending them emails?
Exactly. Yeah.
And then it helps you target also the content for your emails if you know who you're sending to.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. And with that, what's a good message, a good email to send out?
Yeah, that's a great question. And again, that's one of the objections that I hear from a lot of people. And I will also say, once they get clear on who they're for, that objection kind of disappears because then all of a sudden they have these floodgates of ideas and things that they want to share. And what I love about email marketing is I don't want to say it depends, because there's one key element I will tell you, but there's also more than one way to do it. And it needs to work for you and what's right for you. So number one, the key principle is valuable. Or is value. It should be valuable. So if all you are doing is selling in your emails, then it is not going to help your efforts. And this is true for even, like, I get emails because I like to see what brands are doing that are large national and international brands. And the emails that are solely selling, they don't get good open rates and they don't get good click-throughs and they get unsubscribed. But the ones that are telling stories, or the ones that are saying, here's how to style with my products, or, you know, they're providing value, then those are the ones that are actually going to help for the business. So keep value first and foremost. At the same time, you are a business. So that does not mean you should be afraid to sell, because that's what I often hear too, is that people are saying, well, I feel like I should be providing all this value, and then I'm afraid if I start selling, then they're going to unsubscribe. Well, again, let it be okay if someone unsubscribes just because you started selling, because you are a business. So there is not a perfect happy medium, right? It's, yes, you can follow the 80-20 rule. And when you're in a promotion, then maybe you're selling a little bit more. But it's also okay if every month your email does have a how we can work together section at the end of it, and make it very clear that you're a business and you're not just doing this for fun. And that's okay. And if they unsubscribe because you're a business and you're trying to sell, they probably weren't going to buy from you in the first place. Exactly. And so you have to learn to be okay with that. But as far as the content, the ideas are endless. I have one client who is a photographer who serves photographers. And so she provides very practical tips. She'll do like a before and after. This is my step-by-step editing process, and it's right there in the email. She does not put that information anywhere else. So if you want that, you have to be on her email list. And so she'll talk about that on social. She'll promote it and say, hey, here's this image. I'm going to take you behind the scenes of how I edited it, but you have to be on my email list. And so invites them to get on that list. I also have a client who is a horse trainer, and her content is video-based. And so she'll have new YouTube videos. And so her email, hers is a monthly. And every month it's, you know, this is the new video, introducing it, sending them to her email or to her YouTube channel. Or she may do some private things too that are specifically just for her email list. I also have another client. They are trainers and coaches. They're in the reining world, and every week they go live on Facebook. And so her email is, this is today's topic. So they get a heads up if they're on the email list so that they can know ahead of time what's happening on Facebook Live. But they also have a tack shop. And so inside of that email, they have a featured tack. They also have a membership. So they're promoting their membership inside of their email. So a good message always has value. And just as you said, a good message really has your audience in mind, and so that you're writing content that you know is geared towards what they want to hear.
Yeah.
And it probably wouldn't hurt for people to maybe subscribe to somebody. Like, I follow Tim Ferriss. I listen to his podcast, and he has an email list, and it's like the Friday Five, and he sends out like five pieces of content that like he's listening, what he's listening to, what he's doing, mm-hmm. what he's reading, you know, and it doesn't take long to go through it. And then if he does have a new book coming out, like he'll announce it there. And so it's great to get that heads up. So if you don't have ideas, I personally would recommend looking at what other people are doing and putting out there so that you can see, get an idea. It doesn't have to be this long story, boring email. It can be just 5 bullet points, 3 bullet points, boom, done. You're just connecting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That's great advice. And what I also love is that the examples that you keep giving are not equestrian based. Yeah. So I think it's so important for people to remember, like, go outside of the equestrian world to get inspiration and ideas as well. You don't have to just subscribe to other trainers that are doing exactly what you're doing or other coaches, right? Go outside of that and get inspiration. That's really great advice.
Yeah. And that's what I do a lot. I read a lot of business books and a lot outside of the equestrian world, because I feel like so much is valuable. We need to bring a little bit more of that into the equine industry.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll plug another one that I love. I don't know if you guys get this. James Clear. Do you get his emails? Yeah. I love his weekly email. Love it. Yep. Yeah.
Oh yeah. He's one of my favorites. I have like a handful of them that I subscribe to. So, can you talk about how it's different sending email versus the content creation for social media?
Sure. And I'll be super honest. I think that it doesn't have to be. And for some people, it isn't. Okay. Like, it depends on your goals. Like I talked about Phyllis, the equine photographer, and what she sends in emails is not the same as what she gets on social. I also follow somebody in dressage, and she is not my client. I just like to follow what other people are doing in different realms too. And what she puts in her emails, I see on social media all the time. Like I can recognize it because I love content, so I pay close attention. And so I honestly don't think everybody follows the same rules. And that's okay. Like I also have somebody that was not in the equestrian world in her emails. She literally would point to a recent posts that she had on Facebook or Instagram and use that as inspiration. Now, what I will say is in terms of the content doesn't have to be different, but in terms of time and people's willingness to read, oftentimes they're more willing to read a longer email than they are a longer Facebook post or a longer Instagram post. And here's the thing about rules, though. I will say that. And then I was just introduced to a horse trainer. It's a guy, which is funny because you don't usually see guys really wordy. But his Facebook posts are like paragraphs. And he gets insane engagement. Like insane. And so people would say following the rules of social media, what he's doing is not working. But that's not true because it's working. You know, like, or what he's doing. Somebody else would say what he's doing is wrong. Right? It doesn't follow the rule. What he's doing is working. So that's where it goes back to paying attention to your people. And yeah, he probably could do that in emails and people would read it, but he's doing it on Facebook and people are still engaging and reading, you know, and leaving comments of paragraphs back, you know, like having full on conversations with him. So there aren't rules as much as there are paying attention to what your people are willing to engage with and doing it that way.
And I don't think you can assume that everybody on your email list is following you on social media or vice versa.
Yeah, that's a great word. Mm-hmm.
So you can use it to promote the other, you know, even if it does have the same content.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And even if you go back to the stats we talked about, even if they are following you on social, they're the chances of them seeing that, and then even the chances of them remembering, because look at how much content we consume. You know what I mean? And if they're not going to go, oh, that's, I just saw that on Tuesday and now she's emailing it to me on Friday. Like, no, we're the only ones who are that aware of our content.
Yeah. And how many touch points it takes for somebody to see your content and remember like who you are, what you do, what you sell, that sort of thing. It takes a lot for people to remember. And I, like you said, in this day and age, I think it's even more because our attention spans have gotten so much shorter and we consume shorter and shorter content, you know, as the days pass. So and talking about the consistency and getting things up there regularly, people do need to see it more times than not, I think.
Yeah, I think absolutely.
I think people need to see you in person more. So this is really funny, but I travel the entire Northeast. So I have a very big territory for my job. And it kills me when somebody at a clinic is like, we have no idea who Jen is. We've never seen her before. And I'm like, but I've been in here like 3 times.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Like, we meet so many people and consume content. Yeah.
So it's so funny to me because, yes, I'm like, well, how many times? I mean, I have a big territory. I can't be in here every single week seeing you, but you have seen me before.
Yeah.
And absolutely. Maybe for depending on what you do or what you sell, that in person is really important. We haven't really talked about that yet. Everything we've talked about has been digital. But you know, if you are a trainer and you are marketing towards people who are competing, like, you do need to be at those shows. They need to see what you're doing and what you're producing and who you're working with, and that's how you can attract new clients.
Yes, absolutely. That could and probably should be a whole episode into itself, huh? Because it is. It's so important. It's those relationships. And that's, I talk about marketing is relationships more than it is other things. Like, people get so caught up in being afraid to sell. But if you just remember that you're building those relationships, just like you said, when you go in person and you're talking to people, you're building those relationships and those things matter.
Yeah. And kind of going back to the digital side of things, what do you think are kind of the do's and don'ts of content creation?
I love the way you ask this question. So I have a few do's and don'ts that I've kind of paired together. Okay. So I'm going to tell you a don't, and I'm going to tell you the do that goes along with it. All right. So, and honestly, this is all based on what I see. This is not just based on Denise's coming to you from book knowledge. This is truly things that I've seen clients doing or what I see happening on, mostly since we're talking content creation, social media, but that also includes podcast creation, YouTube. Like, content goes beyond just social, and this will apply. Okay. All right. So do not post haphazardly with no purpose or idea of how it's even connected to your goals. So I told you earlier, I start with people about what is your goal? What are we working towards? Because what happens is they just get on and start creating because that's what you're supposed to do, or because that's what you saw so-and-so do, and you're just kind of following behind. But instead, the do is to create content with your customer's buying journey in mind. So what does that mean? It means the buying journey when it comes to marketing is awareness, simplified awareness, consideration, and decision. So they have an awareness of their problem, they're considering their options, and then they're making a decision. So when it comes to your content, it's absolutely possible, even for the person that's saying, Denise, it's just me, you can create content that builds an awareness for the problem. Because again, go back to what we talked about. You've talked to your customer. Okay, so you have an awareness of what their problem is and the words they use to describe it. So I want you to create content that brings an awareness to the problem that they have. And then think about the consideration stage. What kinds of questions are they asking when they're considering their options? And then create content based around that. And then for the decision stage, think about, okay, now they're past the options and they're thinking about you. What, like we talked about earlier, I gave you objections to email marketing. Because that's what I hear people saying. So I address those. So when you're creating content, address the objections that people may have as they're considering. Objections doesn't always mean that they're not willing to buy from you. It just means they're really being intentional about where they want to put their money. And so you can create content based around that. So that's my do and don't for that one is don't be haphazard, be intentional, and keep that buyer's journey in mind. Okay, so then I want you to not, okay, so the don't is don't post a few times, fall off the train, get back on, fall off again, et cetera. And we've talked about that a little bit, but this is so very important because you need to be consistent. So the do is to be consistent. Make a commitment to yourself, find somebody that you can be accountable to, put it on your calendar, do what you need to do to consistently show up. Now, I always say there's a covering of grace with that. So don't come to me and say, Denise, I'm so embarrassed. I haven't posted in 2 weeks. Like, I don't know what to do. Get back on. Like at the same point, like, we all have things that come up in our lives, but what I don't want you to do is not post for like 6 months. Okay. Then you're really damaging the impact. You know, you're damaging the possibilities. You're not damaging the brand, but the potential that you have for your marketing is going to be damaged if you're doing that. But instead, if you can consistently show up, if they see you consistently showing up and you're not just showing up, but you're building those relationships, engaging in conversations, then you're going to get the fruit of that content creation. So be consistent. Okay, I have one more for you. And that is, we have not talked about this, but the don't is don't chase followers. Do not chase the virality. Don't, you know, for a while it was all about, I want my reels to go viral. I need to be a million of views. But the truth is, you actually don't need thousands and thousands of followers to book your clients and customers using online marketing. But instead, if you do focus on connecting with your right people, and yes, organic reach matters. So we talked about the stats. So yes, of course, if you have 300 followers or you have 3,000 followers, the chances of your content getting in front of more of the right people are higher when you have 3,000 followers. But what I see happening, the don't here is don't chase those followers. Don't try to create content just for the purpose of getting followers that you forget that you need to get the right people there, because those are the ones that are going to buy from you, just like we talked about with email lists. So don't be chasing that. And then I actually, as we talked, I'm like, I'm going to add one more, because this is another one that I often see that I feel like is important to say. And that is, don't create content and then leave. So what I mean is, I want you to actually instead get outside of your bubble when it comes to social media content, because we've talked a lot today about content creation. But what we haven't talked about is the fact that social media was created to be social.
Yes.
So if you're just creating content and then you are not engaging in the comments of your own content, you're not engaging in comments of others, you're not sending direct messages.
You're not answering them.
You're not answering those messages. Yeah, you're not replying to comments. People are leaving comments on your content and you never even reply. That's not good. That's not building relationships. It's not building trust or building a brand. So do not just create and then leave, or even worse than that, send it automatically to the app and then never even visit the app ever. Like, and I will say, like, I do have my content. So if it goes to my Instagram, it does automatically go to my Facebook. But if I never get on Facebook and check to see if somebody left a comment, then I'm not doing myself any justice. I'm not helping my brand. So it's okay to take advantage of technology. It's just don't take advantage of technology to the point that you're so hands-off that you're not building those relationships.
Right. Yeah. Really important.
I would also say about people going viral, sure, it's fun to go viral with a video, but if you're selling something and you don't have the capacity to keep up with the inventory or something like that, you really need to be aware of it, of what you're promising people, because I've seen too many stories of people getting stuck with huge amounts of inventory because they went viral, this was great, but they couldn't keep up with the demand, and then now they're in a spot where they can't get rid of it because they've had to cancel orders and they lost trust in people because they couldn't keep up with it.
Oh, that's a really good word. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I think when you talk about engaging not only with the people that come to your posts, but going to other people's posts, like we talked about, who's your perfect customer, who are your customers, like going to their posts, congratulating them, you know, just showing interest in there. I think that's where you show who you are, what you stand for, but also where you find new people that maybe you're new, you know, additional people to your target market because they saw you post on someone else's. And they liked the fact that you cared enough to do that.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It'll be a residual effect when you do that.
Mm-hmm. Also, I just recently posted some stuff on LinkedIn, and I hadn't really posted about equestrian business women on there, and it got shared, and then I got a lot of messages, and I've gotten a lot of requests off of it. So every once in a while, monitoring that new space is probably also a good idea.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like you said, if people are sending you messages and you're not responding, that's not going to help your case. Yeah.
Do you have any tips on making unique content?
Yeah, I love this question because I think the key there is when you said unique content. And I'll be super honest, if you're wanting traction on your account, unique matters to the effect that it makes people connect with you. But again, back to that virality idea, if you're just trying to, if you don't have a clear goal, let me just say that. Okay. So when I hear that question, I hear unique, and I hear unique being the goal. And so what I would ask back, so if you were one of my coaching clients, I'd be like, okay, let's talk about this. Why do you care about unique content? What is that going to do for your business? What's the purpose behind it? And then let's dive into that. I think that unique, honestly, is less important than content that moves people to action.
Okay. That's fair enough. So what kind of content, what secrets can you give about making content, making people move to action?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you a very clear practical way that I see missing oftentimes is having an actual call to action. So if you look at your content, so those who are listening, I want you to go look at your past 4 or 5 posts. And then I want you to see if you have actually told the people in your content what you want them to do. For example, it doesn't have to be buy. It could be leave a comment if you agree. It can be give me a thumbs up. It could be send me a direct message. We often see, you know, leave the word link and I'll send you the link for that, right? Whatever it is, there's not a clear call to action. They're not going to take action. And so I will tell you that one of the tips when I tell people get outside your bubble and go find people and engage in their content, when I do that, and so I'm going to other equestrian entrepreneurs and business owners, right? I'm looking at their content and I'm going, I don't even know what to say to that, right? There's so many posts that it's like, they're not even built for connection. They're not built for conversation and you don't even know how to respond. So as a business owner, what I want you to do is look at your content and make sure that it's very clear that you're giving a call to action and telling them what to do. Now, that being said, of course, you talked about authenticity. Be authentic in your communications. If humor works for you and is in line with you and your brand, be humorous. Have fun with it. Tell your story. That's another way that you can really build connection. But again, let me remind you, as you're telling your story, don't make it about you. Okay. End it with a clear question, right? Tell a little bit of your story and then say, now I want to hear from you. Tell me about a time that you did XYZ. Show your face. That's another tip that I give people because so often it's very easy to have the camera facing outward. But you as an entrepreneur are part of your brand as well. And so look for ways, even if it's in the stories, right? If you're like, Denise, I just don't want to put it on the feed. Try it in the stories and just kind of build that connection to show your face as well. So those are just some super practical ways that you can look at making your content more engaging. I actually teach people there are 3 R's to having engaging content. And so that would be relevant, which we've talked about. It needs to be relevant to your audience. It also should be rich, meaning what we just talked about. It should actually have some meat to it. It doesn't always have to. Okay. So I'm not saying you have to spend 20 minutes on every post making sure it has all of these things. But if none of your content is ever rich, it takes them a little bit deeper into your brand or invites them to go further. It's not serving the purpose. And then the third one is regular. So again, that consistency. So if you want your content to be engaging, it needs to be rich, it needs to be relevant, and it needs to be regular.
You just said something that sparked a question in my head about personal. So what do you feel about having personal pages versus business pages and what kind of content should be on those?
That is such a good question. I actually had somebody on my podcast that I felt like answered this so well. She's in the positive reinforcement world. And if anybody wants to go listen, her name's Shauna Karish. But she talked about how on her personal Facebook page, right? She's talked about openly about struggles that she's had personally that have related to her business, but also just her. And then she's sometimes says it on her business page, but mostly you just see that on her personal page. But what's happened is because she builds relationships so well, that has actually fed to her business also. And so I asked her actually the question you asked me. I said, how do you decide how much personal that you put out there? Because that's a question that I often get. And I'll tell you the answer that I give people. And I think her question was in line with that, which is she said, I shared it because I wanted to encourage people. I wasn't doing it to make it about me. And so I think the underlying answer to that is you need to have a strong why of why you're doing it. Okay. So when we see people sharing like their whole life story and it's on their business account and you're going, oh, I don't know how I feel about that. Yeah. It's honestly usually because they don't have a clear why of why they're doing it. But somebody that has a clear why, they're sharing it from a point of service And it's usually connected in some way to their business. If it's not, then yeah, it's messy, it's confusing, and it's kind of what we talked about. It's creating confusion instead of clarity. But when it's in line with what you're doing in your business, then it makes sense. And so for her, the way she was sharing it was because it's impacted the way that she relates to horses. And so she's able to make that connection and people identify with her because they're like, oh, I felt that, you know, the way I experienced this impacted the way I worked with horses, and positive reinforcement works for me because of this. And so they make those connections. And so when people ask me that question, I echo that back and I just say, okay, let's talk about why you want to do that. And sometimes it's necessary. And sometimes it's not, and being okay with that and saying like, I thought I needed to, and having the ability to talk that out. Sometimes people will go, oh, okay. I thought I had to share it just because I was supposed to, you know, like mm-hmm. some people do it because they're just like, I keep being told I need to share my story. And so I put it out there, but they don't have a clear purpose behind it. It's not clearly connected to the purpose of their business. And so it's just creating confusion instead of building trust. But if it's building trust, then go for it. And if you're comfortable with it, if you're somebody that's saying, Denise, that's not in line with me. Like for me personally, that's not in line. And so I just don't want to share that. Then don't. Like, don't let somebody telling you these are the rules of marketing or social media make you do things that make you uncomfortable because it's not in line with who you are. Because the reality is your audience is also going to see that. They're going to see the uncomfortable and they're going to be like, I don't know what to do with this, you know? Yeah. So it needs so to have, yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it needs to be in line with that. Now to the idea of, should you have a personal or professional page and what should that look like? I tell people, like, again, use your personal page to what feels in line with you. And some people do choose like to use their personal page solely as part of their business, but just remember that there are limits, like literally limits. I think, what is it? 3,000, 5,000, something right. like that, that you can have in terms of friends on Facebook, right? So there are actual limits to what's possible. So you do need to have a professional page and have a professional presence and try to meld those two together. There's not a perfect way to do it, but there are ways to do it because you're going to reach your limit with a personal, and then people are going to be like, how can I share you with a friend? How can I share this with somebody? Or even Facebook. What if you're not feeding the algorithm like we talked about, and your content could be shared to new audiences, but because you're doing it on your personal page, it's limited. Mm-hmm. So you need to be aware of the limits and then figure out, you know, what that looks like for you.
Yeah. I think the intentionality is important and should be at the forefront of everything that you're doing. And if you're not being intentional, or you don't want to, like you don't want to put the effort into figuring it out, then there's your answer. It goes on your personal page.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, obviously you have a marketing background. Can you tell us kind of about the inspiration to start your own business and why you went in that direction?
Yeah, absolutely. So starting out, to be honest, I have a twofold why. So I always tell people, like, you know, what's the why behind it, right? I have a twofold. I actually was pregnant at the time with my second child, and I needed some flexibility and some income while I was going to be on not even maternity leave, because I was freelancing at the time. So I kind of had my own business, but didn't, right? Like, I was just kind of freelancing. And so decided to turn that into a business. And at the same time, for me, for Storm Lily, the brand that I created, I knew that it at some point would expand to create a place for at-risk kids and survivors of trauma to experience the healing touch of God through horses. And so I knew that I was like, it's got to be funded, right? So in my mind, I'm like, I don't feel like I'm supposed to just start a nonprofit right now. So we're going to go the business route. And I love marketing and I love helping people. So honestly, part of my story is starting out, it was not horse businesses. It was just, small businesses, which is one of the reasons I can talk so well about needing to narrow down, because we all know there are millions and millions of small businesses just here in the United States. And so I had to go on my own journey in entrepreneurship of figuring out, okay, who am I really meant to serve? What do I really enjoy doing? Who are the people I love to work with? And then honing in on that. But the inspiration for all of that really was, I've got to do something as a mom. I want to be at home with my kiddos. And at the same time, I love business. I love marketing. And I kind of wanted to meld those two together. And that's how it started. And then it refined along the way, right? That I didn't start the podcast right away. I didn't, you know, it was actually Storm Lily Solutions because I was afraid to take what we talked about, put a stake in the ground and put marketing even in the business name. I was just not even really sure. But that was how it started. And then over time, it has definitely narrowed down. Storm Lily Ranch is what the place is going to be called. I should have worn the sweater. Well, it won't be video anyway, but I have apparel even for it now. And we're like very in the infancy of it. I'm doing training with some similar ministries to learn about what does it look like to start a board and how do you do these things from scratch. So that's still the heart behind Storm Lily Marketing. And I have ideas and visions like everybody else for, you know, what the future can look like and having retreats at the ranch and getting business owners to really, you know, open up about what's possible to these kids that couldn't even imagine owning their own business, you know, and I'm flooded with ideas like everybody else is about what's possible, but that's a big part of my why and how it got started.
Cool. And how has the dream lived up to, or how has the reality lived up to the dream?
That's, I love that question. How has the reality lived up to the dream? It's funny because I didn't fully know what to dream because when I was in high school, like if you would have asked me, I would have told you I'm going to be a CEO. Like that was my big goal. Like I couldn't tell you what kind of company. It was just like, I want to be a CEO. And so it's funny when you say, how has the reality lived up to the dream? Because I didn't even know that this was a possibility. Like I didn't grow up in a family that was entrepreneurial. And so starting my own business was not something that was even on my mind. And so now I feel like I'm getting to it. Like live this even more wow reality, to be honest with you, which it's not the towers and the CEO realm, but I'm the CEO of my own business and I love it. Like I think it's the best thing in the world because I'm learning all the time. I get to work with horse people that are amazing. When I get to help these equine photographers and their pictures come into my inbox and I'm just like, these are gorgeous. I get to do this for a living. Like I'm doing a website for one right now. And it's just fun. Like I love it. And what I will say is I love it, but I don't wear rose colored glasses. So for those that are listening and saying, she sounds like a little bit Pollyanna-ish, it's really not that. It's just, I'm so grateful that I can see everything else through a lens of gratitude is what I've learned. So yes, there are days where I have imposter syndrome, just like anybody else. There are days where I have self-doubt. There are days where the money stuff is overwhelming and I have to do my own bookkeeping and right. Like there are other elements that every entrepreneur experiences. And I just look at that and say like, this is hard, but I'm grateful. And I love it.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, it's been such a pleasure to talk with you today. I loved all the concrete examples that you had for people. I think this is going to be super helpful for a lot of listeners who, you know, either are starting out or need to kind of upgrade their marketing. So we really appreciate your time and all of the thoughts that you had for everyone.
Absolutely. Thanks for the opportunity to share. I've enjoyed it immensely.
So at the end of every episode, we ask the same four questions to each guest, and Connor starts with the first.
What is one action that women can take to make a big difference in their lives?
I would say what I just hinted at, which is gratitude. This looks different for everybody. I know in terms of practice, right? There are some people that have gratitude journals and some people think once a day, or some people think I need to name 10 things I'm grateful for. But I think the overwhelming heart of it is, can you at least pick one thing in your business every day that you can choose to be grateful for? I actually have a friend that is also a business owner in the horse world, and she and I send messages to each other of like, this is my gratitude list. And so sometimes I write it out and I take a picture and send it to her. And sometimes I'm in the car and I'm just like, these are the things I'm grateful for. But yeah, choosing that gratitude really can make a huge difference.
And what is the best habit that keeps you motivated personally?
I struggled with this question actually, because you kindly sent it ahead of time. And I was like, okay, what is a habit that keeps me motivated? And here's why I'll say that, because every personality is totally different. And I will say, I shared with you, like I have a strong why. And for me, when like it's a hard day, then it's not necessarily a habit. I guess it could be. It's not intentional. I wouldn't say. This is not like, I wouldn't write this in a habits practice notebook, right? But having a strong why. And that keeps me motivated on the days when I'm like, oh, this is really annoying. This is really hard. This client's, you know, sometimes we all have frustrating clients every now and then. I love all my clients, but you know, you have hard days. And you go, that's okay, because I have a strong why behind it. I know why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. And maybe just the habit is referring back to that or keeping it in mind and being able to go back to it when you need to.
Yeah. Or having it, like I have a wall, you know, like I have things stuck up in my office that remind me of what I'm working towards. Yeah.
Cool.
That's cool. Do you have a favorite horse movie?
So childhood ones stay the same, right? Like once it's stuck with you in childhood, you like watch other movies and you're like, these are so good. So Black Beauty was actually my favorite book when I was younger. I read it multiple times. And so then in the 90s, when they made the edition of it, I've loved that movie ever since. And mostly, honestly, because I loved the book and the movie, I felt like lived up to my expectations. That doesn't happen very often, but right. I felt like they did such a good job in getting to hear the story from the horse's perspective and then seeing it play out. It's always on my top.
Cool.
And, who would you recommend to be a future guest on this podcast?
Yeah, what a fun question. So the person I would recommend, her name is India Wilkinson. She has an app called Main Street Market. Yeah, and I know she's been to your events before, but I didn't think she's been on your podcast. And I was like, okay, yeah, she was on my podcast. Mm. And I ended up turning it into a two-part series because we talked for so long and it was so good. And actually what she talked about on my podcast was sponsorships, because that is the world that she came from. But most people know her now for her app, but she's a wealth of knowledge. And so whatever direction you take the conversation, I'm sure it would be a great episode.
Cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
We'll definitely have to reach out.
Yeah, dude, tell her I sent you.
Will do. Well, thanks again. We really appreciate it. And we look forward to seeing how things go for you and your goals going forward.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me again. I appreciate it. I appreciate all that you are doing. Someday I will make it down to one of your events because they look extraordinary.
Thanks. Tired of searching multiple websites for equestrian products and services? Wish you could browse horses for sale and order supplements in one convenient place? Equivant was created by horse girls who are dedicated to making it easy for fellow equestrians to find what they need for them and their horses.
Equivant partners with small equestrian businesses to advertise products, services, and horses for sale on one convenient marketplace. Shop on equivant.com to find horses for sale, grooming products, supplements, riding apparel, trainers and vets in your area, and much more. They really do have everything you need for you and your horse. So I think we've talked about marketing a few times and had a few episodes about marketing on the podcast, but I really feel like this one was hyper-specific, and she gave really good examples and actionable tips on what to do, which I find so helpful, because I feel like a lot of times when you listen to like podcasts that are, I don't know, motivational or how to help your business and all this stuff, it's all like very general things about how you should feel and, you know, all these things. But hers was like, step one, do this. Step two, do this. And gosh, it was really cool to have her be so clear and explain the reasoning behind why she thinks this is how you should do it and how it will help you.
Yes. And I like that she has experience in different aspects of the equine industry, where she was talking about having photographers as clients and barn owners. And so it makes it super relatable to a lot of different people that could be listening to this podcast in the equine industry. And so that it breaks it down and it makes it so that they can take action. It makes it so it's relevant, you know, her three R's that she was talking about. And I really enjoyed talking to her, and actually I was trying to take notes and listen to her and do all the things. So I really can't wait to go back and listen to the whole thing so that I can not have to keep thinking, okay, when am I supposed to ask the next question? Or I don't want to interrupt with a question, right? That's one of the hardest things about podcasting, is that you want to just listen to them, but you want to take notes, but you have to know like when you're going to ask a question. So, I think it was really great, and so many just good points and details and making content. And also, I love how she goes back to the why. And I that's always so important. And things we've talked about before, being intentional and being consistent.
Yeah. And it really is, you know, she mentioned like marketing 101 classes, you know, that she took.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yes, that's what I took too, because marketing was my major. But, you know, there is a reason why everybody has to understand marketing. And it's not just for content creation, right? What we talked about in the beginning, it is about your business. Like, why do you even have this business? Why are you selling what you're selling? That's what marketing is. It's figuring that out. And because of figuring that out, then you can find your customers. And it's really the basics. And those basics are so important when you have a business. And I think people forget about them a lot of times. And or they're just so inundated with information and things that you can find online that are flashy and may help, but don't really get down to what it is you're doing it, why you're doing it, who you're reaching, how you're going to reach them.
Yep.
All of those things that are proven for success.
Right. And it's interesting because, like she said, she had it in her head that she was going to be a CEO.
Yeah.
And she is, in a sense, the CEO of her own company. And I think so many times we go into programs where we're like, oh, I'm going to come out and I'm going to be this, so I don't need marketing or I don't need a class in this. And I think a lot of veterinarians, I mean, I was even thinking, I went into school as a psychologist and then I switched to marketing and management. And the psychology degree, fine. But if I wanted to go out and go on my own to have my own practice, I should know about marketing anyway. And kind of why I switched was because I was like, I don't like school enough to stay in here as long as it needs to be. Also, I'm not going to make enough money until I get to be a doctor. And so I'm going to go to business school because I like business.
Yeah.
But it's such a good foundation to have. And I think even in these equestrian programs and the college classes that kids are taking, yes, it's great to like love the horses and be in the barn, but there's a whole business aspect, whether you can contribute to the business that you're going to work for, or eventually you're going to have your own business. Having some of this foundation laid of marketing is important. And I think everybody needs it, even if you don't think you do, and it's not your thing. You still need to have some kind of idea.
Right.
So you can get that market honed down on who your customers are going to be.
Yeah, for sure. She explained it so easily. She's able to give great examples. Like it triggered examples in our minds. Mm-hmm. And I think it was a really great conversation, really helpful. And I also really loved seeing how the themes keep emerging and keep coming back with everybody that we talk to, no matter what their specialty is or what their business is. We're able to tie in those threads of what we've discussed before.
Yeah, it's great. I love it. It's so interesting. It keeps my mind stimulated. It makes me think of all the other things that I could do in other parts of my life.
Yes.
You know, I mean, even working for a corporate company, things that I can do for myself, there's great tips. So it's not just about being an entrepreneur. You can use this even if you're working for somebody else. And I like that because I can implement it into my life.
Definitely.
All these great tips. And speaking about going on to other things in our lives, we're going to wrap up today, where you can find the links to today's guests and the show notes at www.eqbusinesswomen.com. Equestrian B2B is out twice a month on the 1st and the 15th.
You can find out more at eqbusinesswomen.com and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Find Equestrian B2B wherever you get your podcasts and be sure to follow, subscribe, and leave a review. You can have all 20 plus shows of the Horse Radio Network with you wherever you go with their free app for iPhone and Android. Go to your app store and search Horse Radio Network.
Now go create intentional content.